And Dungeons and Dragons fans, here's an interview I did with Devin, who goes by the name of Toast on my forums. So he recently got done with the Approach Anxiety program, which is a completely free program that helps you build up the confidence to start hitting on chicks in public. So he and I sat down, we had a killer chat, and more than anything, what I want you guys to take away from this podcast is that you can absolutely do what he's done. What I've done, what plenty of other people have done. You can beat your approach anxiety. You can get yourself to a point where you can comfortably walk up to women. And there's a world full of women out there. They're all waiting for you to walk up to them, to talk to them, to tell them that they're cute and ask for their phone number. So stop making bullshit excuses and just get started right fucking now. If you need a push with that, that's what I'm here for. You guys know where to find me. Send me an email. I'll help via coaching. I'll leave a link in the description below to that. So sit back. Chill, relax, grab a beer, and enjoy this interview.
I feel like from doing the program, the thing that stood out to me the most is like how much more confident in myself that I've become. And like mentally, like I think you said it in one of your things, it's like I've done AA, like everything else like pales in comparison, you know? Yeah. And like recently I was doing the sheriff test, and it's like a physical test and an oral interview. And like the people that were next to me were like sweating bullets, man, like super nervous. This like guy, he was like I'm 28. He was probably like 35. And he was like fucking like shaky hands, like tying his shoes. And I'm like, dude, you got this, man. It's easy. Yeah. And in my head afterwards, I'm like, dude, like I've fucking approached like 1200 girls in the past like 4 months. Like this test is like nothing compared to like all the stress I've been through.
So, I think that's like the main thing that the program is teaching you. It's not even so much that it teaches you how to talk to girls, like there is that too. Mm-hmm. But it's like you have to kind of go to war to get through the program. Like you really are going through war. And yes, I've never been to war. I would rather do the AA program than going to war, fine. But every day that you're out there, it feels like war. It feels like you're in this battle against, it's not even against yourself. It kind of is, but it feels almost like you're conquering the entire world. Like the rest of the world is against you. All the society norms that say you can't do this, you're not allowed to do this, you have to be a loser, stuff like that. All the people who bullied you in high school and shit and said like, you're a loser, you're never going to be cool, you never get to have women. All the girls who rejected you. It's like you're at war with like 15 different like aspects of being alive. And getting like through
the social thing. The social thing is huge too. Because there's like a perceived image that you always try to fit into. Yeah. And by doing this like program, you're just like going out there and making a fool of yourself, like not on camera for like, you know, people to see. You're just doing it for you. And like, there were so many times when like the ABCs, you know, that one was horrible for me. And like, I thought I was such a weirdo. I know. Yeah. And in Brandon's thing, you said like you loved it because you did it in like a front of a crowd and like girls like came back up to you. Like I was dying during that day. Yeah. Like, I was so nervous. Like, that's probably like literally the worst day that I've ever had. I was so nervous. Like, I was like A, B, C, D, F, G. And I like walked away and like fucking felt like ashamed or like, you know, like such a weirdo, you know? I don't know.
It is weird. Like, you are doing something weird. And I've had people who are halfway through the program or just at the start and they say, like, how do I do this drill without being weird? Or even just talking to girls. Like, how do I talk to girls without being weird? And I always have to tell them, like, what you are doing is weird. I'm sorry, but it's fucking weird. Like, you walking up to girls and saying, hey, you're sexy. Hey, you're cute. Hey, you're attractive. Can I get your phone number? That's fucking strange. That's fucking abnormal. Like, there's no world in which you don't feel a little weird. And I think the benefit of the program is you're forced to sit in those scenarios for so long that there's, like, there's no one but you. You're just, it's you in your own head. And like, you have to deal with the shit that's in your head. I think Chris said, the author of the program said in a different article, something like this program will strip you down and force you to confront your issues, like your insecurities and stuff. It really does. Like when you're out there and you say something weird and creepy and they have a weird reaction, it's just you in your own head. Like there's nobody else there. You're just there in your own shame and those feelings of like, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not allowed to do this. Why don't I just like go home? You know, I should just go home and fucking play video games and be normal like everybody else. Like, it's the weirdest fucking thing. And it's like a form of self-torture. It really is a form of self-torture.
It really is. I mean, it at certain points, it's fun. And then at certain points, you're just like dreading it. Just there are so many days like where I was out there just struggling and I'm like, I could just go home. Like, I don't need to do like 5 approaches today, but like being able to like persevere through it, like really makes you so much like stronger mentally.
And you don't know this yet because you only finished the program like a couple of weeks ago, right?
It's been like maybe 3 weeks, something like that. Yeah. It hasn't been very much time. Yeah.
Fast forward like several years and then look back. Like even now, I can't remember when I finished the program. Like you could probably tell me, but I can't remember. Like, do you remember when I could look it up, but who gives a shit?
It's been several years though, yeah.
It's been several years. It's been at least 4 years. I'm going to say that. Mm-hmm. And like even now, there are moments where you go to do something hard and you're like, yeah, but I did that AA program. I can do this. Like it's just, it just stays with you. And then I've gone on after that and done like a bunch of other shit that was really hard. This fucking website, this podcast, YouTube, like everything that I've done, like at the start, I was like, this is impossible. Coaching, I was like, this is impossible. And so when you do enough of those, every time you hit a new like goal that you want to achieve or a new hurdle or a stumbling block or something, you're like, yeah, but I did all that other shit. And like the AA program was the first big one. Like you will look back, I promise you, in 10 years and you'll be like, thank fuck I did that program. Like you have no idea. That confidence doesn't go away is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. I mean, after doing it, the thing I wish the most is that I'd done it earlier because it's really just like projected my life forward at such a rapid pace. Like I'm still living at home, but I'm like going to move out in like 2 weeks. And like before the program, like I thought I was going to move out in like 2 years, you know, or something, you know, and like, I'm pursuing this career. I got more like work hours. I'm like, what else am I doing? I'm just doing so much more. I expect so much more of myself now because I've done it, because I've done this hard ass thing.
Yeah. And how long did you take to do the whole program?
I think it took me like, it's supposed to take 3 months or something, right? I did it not much longer because, I was really consistent. I think I did something every single day. Yeah. If it was only 5 approaches, I did go out at least for an hour or 30 minutes every single day. Mm-hmm. And that's also something I learned is that like consistency is really something that's important. Like if you go out and do one approach every day, you're still making progress.
Yeah.
And I think Brandon said like he was surprised at like kind of how easy, or Manganiello, he was surprised at how easy I had a time because I think I just did it every single day.
Yeah.
And that was like really something that I was like pretty strong at, you know, just staying really rigid and not bitching out at all.
Yeah. And people think a lot of the time they think progress is made in these like giant, massive leaps. And sometimes it is, sure. Like progress does sometimes look like that. A lot of the time it's just like you just showed up every day for like 3 months. You just rocked up. You didn't even have necessarily like all the motivation in the world. You weren't the most like confident, hardcore, impulsive, all in kind of person, but you just showed the fuck up. And as soon as you get there, sometimes you just do one approach. Other times you'll be in a good mood and you'll do like 50 approaches that day. Like, but just by putting yourself in that position, you're giving yourself the opportunity to make progress every single day. And again, that's all progress is. Like just show up and do a tiny little bit every day.
And yeah. I'm like,
the AA program teaches you.
100%. Yeah. I mean, if like, just like with like learning an instrument or learning like a new skill, you just got to try every day, even if it's for like a little bit of time, you know, and the AA program really like enforces that.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk about, I didn't talk about this with Brandon on the podcast with him. You guys had like a WhatsApp group where you would like talk to each other. Are you guys still doing that? And then how much did it help you like during the program? There was like 3 of you that are doing the program at the same time, all talking to each other.
Yeah. So Brandon, Manganiello and Sundal Boro are the two guys that we, it was kind of like a few weeks into the program. He like messaged me because I guess Sundal Boro messaged him and said we should like Zoom call or like make an app. And we all joined and they definitely kicked my ass when I was out there. Like I'd be like texting them and then I'd be like, yo, I'm having a real hard time with this. They're like, dude, just finish the day, man. Like you got like 10 more approaches. Just fucking do it. I'm like, fuck, man, you're really calling me out in the moment. And it does motivate you to have more people that are doing the same thing with you. Cause like Manganiello actually hit me up on GLL. and was like, yo, like, I see you're like, you know, doing this shit. Like, why don't you go to your website? There's more people there. And I was like, okay, you know, and then having the support of the community. And then that's how I met them, really definitely helped me out a lot. Like, I'd say it was like a pretty big factor.
I had the same shit. Two guys that I was in a group with, and we started on like fucking Skype. Mm-hmm. I think we started in WhatsApp and then we moved to Skype, and we would just do like pretty much daily calls. Like we would actually like a video call with each other. We just needed that shit. And like so many times a day I'd be out and I'd be trying to do the program and I'd just be having a bad day. And I would like message both of them. We had like a group chat and I would message and I'd be like, guys, I can't fucking do this. Like I'm going to have a breakdown. I can't do this. And they're like, do it, pussy. Do it or you're a loser. Do it or you're a faggot. Go and talk to that girl. And like, I can't tell you how like beneficial anyone listening. If you're starting the program or you're thinking about doing the program or you're halfway through the program, get some accountability partners or friends, whatever you want to call them. Just get some, you need some fucking bros in your corner during this shit. You can't be doing this entirely alone. Yes, when you go outside, you are the only one that has to deal with this shit. Like you're by yourself. It definitely feels like it's you against the world. But it's nice to be able to pull your phone out and say, guys, I can't fucking do this. And they say like, you got this, man. You got this. And like, the friends you make through doing that will be fucking like loyal friends. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I definitely think like I'm not like super competitive, but when Sundalboro like caught up to me in days, because I think I started like maybe a week ahead of him. And then he like caught up to me because I was doing like maybe one approach before work. And I was like, fuck, dude, like, what am I doing? Like, I got to fucking kick it up a gear. And then I started going and doing like 10 approaches a day. Maybe 20 in a day. And like, I like zoomed past him because he lit the fire under me. I was like, I got to fucking keep going. So that was definitely a big motivator. And he was also helping me think out through some problems. It's like, oh, why did this approach suck? Like, you know, is it me? It's like, no, it's not you. It's like, they're fucking shitty people. You know, it's like, it's never you. It's just people are having a bad day. Like if that girl doesn't want to give you the time, it's not because you're weird. It's because she's either in a rush. She's not like mentally healthy enough to really give someone the time of day or something like that. And it took like a lot of approaches to like realize that too.
Yeah. And that's something you can't really teach. Like I can say it in podcasts, you can say it here with me now, but like if someone wants to actually internalize that shit and feel it for real, the only answer is like, I'm sorry guys, but you have to go get rejected 100 times, like 200 times, 300, whatever it is. You have to just go through that shit. Like all the insecurities come up of like, maybe I'm ugly. Maybe I'm small. Maybe I'm weak. Maybe I'm a piece of shit. Maybe I'm, for me, it was like, maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm like an old man and these girls don't want to talk to old men. Like you have to go through all those insecurities and meet some nice chicks, meet some bad chicks, like go through all that shit and realize like, fuck, it's not about me. It's almost like you're a child at the start and children do this when their parents divorce. They think it's because of them. They're like, mommy and daddy split up because I'm a bad child. If I was just a better child, they wouldn't have split up. It's like this internalized viewpoint. There's a word for it. I can't remember what it is. We have this. Guys have this. Maybe everyone has this with rejection, where it's like you think if this girl's rejecting me, it's about me. Maybe sometimes it is, but 9 times out of 10, she's just not single. She's in a bad mood. She has a boyfriend. She doesn't give a fuck about you hitting on her. She thinks it's weird that some guy came up to her in public. She would never meet someone through that means. She only dates people from her social circle. Her cat just fucking died. She's on her period. Like we could go through 500 reasons. It's actually kind of like almost a lottery. And that's why we call it like a numbers game. You really can't be taking that shit to heart. But the only way you get to that point is by getting rejected. Like we can say that here, but people will listen to that and go like, yeah, sure. But why does it hurt when I get rejected?
Like, 100%. Yeah. Yourself. There was one instance where I don't remember exactly what drill it was. I think I was like asking for, I can't even remember exactly, but one girl I walked up to and did the drill and she just like stonewalled me. She's like, no, I can't help you with this. And then I turned around and did it on another girl and she like laughed at what I was saying. So I was like, okay, it's not me. She's just a fucking shitty person, you know? And the girl behind me, like, for some reason was having a great time talking to me, but that one girl just was not having it that day, you know? So, and it was like within like 30 seconds of each other. So I was like really like seeing it like right before my eyes.
Yeah. And the more experience you get, especially as you like personally start sleeping with more women, you will realize that like what turns one girl off just turns the very next girl on right next to her. Like, I think the best example I have of this, I've included it in a couple of articles. I love bringing it up. It was in my Tinder or my Bumble, I had a line that says, I don't use it anymore, but I used to use this line all the time that said, when I was little, girls hated when I pulled their hair. Funny how some things change. The implication being like chicks love when you pull their hair in the bedroom now, right?
Yeah.
And this girl matches with me and she says, my roommate, first line she says is, my roommate says that your line is really creepy and that I shouldn't talk to you, but I actually found it really funny. And then I ended up sleeping with that girl. And it's like, so the girl literally in the same room as her is saying, he's a creep, don't fuck him, that's disgusting. And then the other girl goes like, no, I kind of like it. Like, best example ever. And you'll find that shit the more women you sleep with. And anyone listening, the more like women you talk to, or if you do the AA drills, same thing. Like, one girl will hate you and tell you that you're creepy, you're too old, you're too short, you're too weird, you're too insecure, you're too...
Yeah, just anything, really. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's almost arbitrary. Yeah. It's almost arbitrary. And I'm going to hijack this conversation a little bit. You'll find, I don't know if you're ever going to do this, but if you ever did content creation, bro, the AA program is the best fucking thing to do before content creation, because the same shit happens. Someone will come in and say, like, you're a rapist, you're a bad person, you're creepy, you're this, you're that, you're ugly, you're too short, you're too old. I don't like your tone of voice. You're too unpolitically correct. You're too politically correct. Like, you'll get just so much random fucking noise that doesn't mean anything. And you just remember the AA program and you're like, this guy doesn't, like, this is just one person's opinion. Just like that one girl that rejected me, that was one opinion. Like, I don't have to take that as the gospel truth, but that's something you only get through exposing yourself to this shit, like this torture. I say torture, but it's definitely not torture.
I mean, it kind of is sometimes out there.
Yeah, but I have to say that
but it's not
torture,
no, it's
so
not.
That people don't do the, if we say it's torture, they won't do the program.
Yeah.
It's not torture. It's lovely. It's so much fun. It's
I mean, great. After, so like, it not being torture in the beginning, like when I first started, I gave a girl a compliment just because I wanted to see like where I stood at on like a nervousness level. And like in my head, like I'm standing in line. I'm like, okay, this girl's cute. I'm just going to say her like top is nice. I was fucking sweating bullets.
Your like, top is so nice. And she's like, stop looking at my tits, you creepy fuck.
No, she... But in my head, I'm going through situations like that. You know, it's like, oh, what is she going to think I'm weird?
What
for,
if she
like,
calls the police? What if she calls the SWAT team and they fucking...
Yeah, exactly. You like catastrophize it, you know? You just like come up with all these crazy situations and then none of them happen. And she's like, oh, thanks, you know? And then like later in the program, I'm like calling girls cute left and right. And I'm having a great time because I'm making them smile. Like I'm really having fun making girls smile just by giving them compliments. You'd see like they're actually enjoying it, you know? They're like, oh, that's so sweet. You make their day sometimes and it just feels great.
I think that was the biggest like turning point for me was it's day 30 something where you
like
start 38
walking
up to, is that when you first say you're cute?
I think that's either that's like day 30. I think day 38 is like Mr. Nice Guy where you like give a shitload of compliments, and then like day 40 is like when you first say they're cute or something.
And that for me, especially the compliments, but when I got to the point of saying like you're cute, which took me a lot of effort. I had a breakdown on that day. But like when you first tell girls they're cute and they respond nicely, that's when you first realize like, oh, fuck, like this is real. Like I just that was a person. Because before that, it felt like it wasn't. It was just like you're doing drills on like NPCs, right? They're just random puppets that will just respond to your jokes and your weird fucking shit. But the day you first walk up and actually start giving compliments, it feels real. It feels like authentic, to use that word. And when they respond nicely, it's like fucking amazing. Like really nice.
Yeah, because a lot of the drills, like they seem really like, I don't know, just fake, you know? It's like you go up I did Where's the Beach, like fucking like 3 miles from the beach in the middle of like San Francisco.
Me too.
You know? Yeah.
I did it at a fucking university campus.
Yeah. I'm like way downtown, like I'm just looking for the beach and you're like flexing and then it's like they're like, what are you on? Like, what are you talking about? You know?
I did the what's for lunch drill. I did that at 5:30 p.m. when everyone's fucking grumpy and in the middle of the city. So they're all like leaving, going home from work, and they're all fucking grumpy. And I'm like, what's for lunch? Like, they're all so fucking grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit.
Yeah, that's something Sundal Boro mentioned that too, because I usually went out around lunchtime because I just had, that's when I went and I like would eat dinner around at that time and come home. So a lot of the people I think were, I don't know, maybe they were happier because it was like noon and they're just out shopping and stuff. I didn't get like, I honestly didn't have that many bad reactions. like Sundelboro said, like someone came up to him, like, why are you talking to my wife like that? And got up all in his face. Like, I can't wait for you to talk to him because he has all the stories, you know?
Yeah.
Like my whole progress was pretty mellow for the most part. And it was a lot of like internal struggle, not really like people confronting me and stuff. And like just some funny reactions too.
So what were those internal struggles? Like what things came up, if you don't mind sharing them? Like what insecurities, what doubts, what feelings of like, I'm not good enough? What sort of shit was your head saying?
Definitely like thinking about like the way that the girl's going to react, like trying to get a good reaction took me a lot to like get over that. Like, like I think Brandon was like, yo, any reaction's a good reaction. You know, it's like, I don't know, just a lot of self-doubt, nervousness of just approaching. Like sometimes, cause like in the city, like, or in San Francisco, there's like a shitload of bums out. And I'm like, are these people going to think I'm like a crackhead, like on the street, like doing this shit to them? Like, do I look like a bum? Like coming up and like talking to these people, like, you mad, bro? Like just like going up to weird people or people doing that. So like, there's a lot of that. Oh, there's a lot of doing it in front of other people and then hearing them and making them and like having them think like, oh, he's just like doing some weird thing. He's like a faker or something, you know, something like
that. He's insane. He's lost his mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just embarrassment too, you know, like a lot of feeling embarrassed. I feel like that was like what I think was the hardest part about day 17 for ABCs is just embarrassing myself in front of someone.
Yeah. Where's the beach was embarrassing for me. I did a good job of it, but holy shit, that was the most humiliating one for me. Cause I decided to punish myself. A lot of the drills, I added extra challenges. Like I would wear a watch while asking for the time, or I would have my phone in my hand while asking for the time. Or like the one where you have to say like, where's the bathroom? I would just like ask it. I literally stood in front of the fucking toilets and said like, where's the bathroom? And like, they're like, it's right there. Are you serious?
But that's like super beneficial though. I think like, I wish I did more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It, that shit helps. And that's what I did with the, where's the beach one. Mm-hmm. I was at a university campus and I just did it in front of like, there was like everyone, it was lunchtime. So everyone's like sitting outside, almost like an outside seating area with benches and shit. And I just walked up to the first girl and did it. And then the one next to her and did it. And the one next to her and did it. So I did like fucking 20 girls in a row, all watching me. And at some point they all just stopped looking at me. And that was the most embarrassing part, when no one wants to make eye contact anymore. Cause they're like, this guy's just lost the fucking plot. He's like mentally ill. But like, and so some of them wouldn't look at me when I was doing it. And I just had to keep fucking flexing for 30 seconds while they're not looking at me and everybody else is trying to pretend I don't exist. That was the most like uncomfortable feeling I think I'd ever felt in my life. But like, when you go through that, like nothing else compares to that. I'll tell you, like in the 4 years since finishing the AA program, nothing's been as embarrassing. Like nothing. Mm. You can't compare. It's like you went to war and everything else is going to be mellow in comparison.
Yeah, it really does, you know, make everything else seem so insignificant, you know, because you just put yourself through so many trials like every single day. Like one more like little hiccup isn't really much anymore. Yeah
And I think that's the biggest benefit. I'm gonna keep bringing this up, but like for the rest of your life, I promise you, you'll look back in 5 years and be like, holy shit, like everything else, you'll have challenges, like, and some of them will seem harder than the AA program, but because you're more equipped for them, you would do a better job. Like some of the stuff I've done after the AA program has been harder. Coaching has been harder for sure, but it hasn't felt harder. And if you say to me, which would I rather do, coaching or the AA program? I'm like, coaching. Podcasts and stuff. Yeah, they've been hard as hell, but like, I don't want to go back and do the AA program again. I'm glad I did it, but it's like, that was the hardest thing I'll ever probably do because you're inexperienced at that point in time. You don't know if you're going to make it. And like I'm saying, every goal you attack from now on, you will have this thought in the back of your head of like, yeah, I can fucking do this. I did the AA program. Why couldn't I do this? This is easy.
Yeah, like I believe in myself. Like I was never one to, I don't know. I felt like I'm like a pretty normal dude, you know, like, but I believe in myself so much more now that like, I can just do whatever the hell I want, you know, like be it like social freedom or like, you know, job. Like I just feel like I'm just so much more like mentally strong now because I've gone through it.
Yeah, because you tortured yourself. We'll keep bringing up the word torture, but like it is fucking torture, man. There are some days where it's hell. It really is. Like, you don't want to be there. You don't want to do this. You want to just go home and go back to your normal life. But you know you can't. It's like, it's too late. Not even that you can't, because you can. And I guess that's going to be my question to you. I asked the same to Brandon. Why did you not quit? Because you don't see it from my point of view. You just see it from your point of view. And your point of view is, you rocked up on day one of the program. Maybe you weren't sure if you'd complete it, but you knew that you were going to try. You were consistent. You got through the program. You got to the end. Now you're sitting on this podcast with me. That's your journey over the last like 4 months, right? You don't see from my point of view, which is, how many people do you think start the program? 99% quit.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
At this point, it's hilarious when I sit down with you, because I remember you when you signed up, and I remember Brandon when he signed up. And I remember the other guy that starts with S that I can never fucking say his name.
Sundalboro. Yeah, I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Fucking better name, dude. But yeah. Like, I remember you three rocking up, and just like every other person, I see you start a log, and my brain just goes like, yeah, whatever. Like, that's the reaction. And then you get to like day 14, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then you get to like day 30, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's kind of semi-serious. And then it's not till you actually finish the fucking thing that I'm like, oh, okay, this cunt's on my level. Like, this guy's on, this is like me. This is me like 4 years ago. This guy's me. Okay, I can respect him now. It's like, I just, I can't respect anyone. If you guys are listening, don't even take this as a harsh criticism or something. I just, you have zero of my respect until you've done something big. Like, just because I see so many people that quit. That's my question to you. Why the fuck are you not like all the other people? And I would like to know your perspective. Because I haven't come up with a good answer yet as to why you did it and so many others didn't.
I don't know. I've thought about that a little bit too. And I think it's like kind of just part of my personality, honestly. Like, I think that, so like, honestly, I don't think I ever really thought about quitting. Like, if I think back on it, yo, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, neither did I, apart from a couple of bad days, but I don't think I really wanted to quit.
Exactly. Like, it was hard and I wanted to go home, but I'd never thought about like just completely stopping and like not continuing, because I think what motivated me the most was actually seeing the like confidence level during the program go up. Cause I remember there was like a point where I'm like, yo, like, I was talking to Brandon. I'm like, dude, I'm like seeing girls like looking at me like differently. Like, I'm on the street and I'm catching eyes, and I've never had that really happen before. And I'm like, dude, this is working. Like, I need to keep going. Like, I can't quit. Like, there is no quitting. And I dive headfirst into a lot of things. I mean, if you know, I'll point the camera over here, but D&D, all this shit, you know, like fucking, this is a hobby that I dove straight head into. And, doing the AA program was something I just hopped right into as well.
I want to transfer that or transmute that into actionable steps that other people can take. Let's distill down what you just said into a couple of steps. I think the first one has to be, you have to be at that point where you can't quit. Like, you have to get to that point of frustration where you're like, I fucking need this. And you're willing to go all in. If 100%. You're not there yet, you can kind of engineer that yourself. I've talked about this in previous podcasts. I'll leave a link in the description to one of them called Fantasize About Your Goals to make you think they're possible. You almost have to like brainwash yourself into, first of all, wanting to do this and believing that you can, even if you don't think you're going to finish it. I didn't think I'd finish it, but at least that you can get a little bit of the way, and then you just kind of take it. The second thing you have to do is like brainwash yourself into like how bad and fucked up your life would be if you don't do it. Like, almost like you're fantasizing about how much your life will go to shit. Girls will never love you. You'll always be a loser. You'll get to 80 and you won't have a relationship you're happy with. Maybe you meet a woman, but you kind of like have to settle with her, and you'll always have those doubts. You'll have kids with her and you'll fucking feel resentment because they're not really the kids you wanted with the woman that you wanted. Like, start thinking about how bad all this shit would be. And almost like you're terrifying yourself into doing it. And you're saying, I don't have a fucking option. That's how I felt. Because I had been in bad relationships and like horrible life for like the first 10 years. And so I thought, if I don't do this, I just have to go back to that shit. I can't do that. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think mine's as extreme as yours, but I definitely was like fantasizing about like ending up alone, like not getting a girlfriend, like, you know, my sex life just being like terrible. Like, You know, like, not that something like tragic has to happen in your like past, but you know, like, I've like lost some friends because of some decisions I've made, and that's kind of like led me down this path of like self-improvement and stuff like that. So like things like that, can you can either fantasize about it, or it happens and it kind of motivates you to better yourself. You know, I mean, you learn from your mistakes, and that's what I've done as well.
And if you don't, again, guys, if you don't have those things in your life, like you don't have some big tragic backstory or something, you're just kind of complacent and you're everything's okay, but you think you want better. Mm-hmm. Just do what we just said, like fantasize about how bad it will be in 20 mm-hmm. years. If you're only complacent and semi-happy now, it doesn't get better if you don't strive for something. It gets worse. Yeah. And you almost have to, like I said, brainwash yourself, because people think... A lot of the time with motivation, people think, like, motivation is in two parts. Positive motivation, like, oh my God, I want to get laid a lot. And also negative mm-hmm. motivation of like, oh my God, I don't want to end up alone. Both of those work.
Yeah.
I talk about using both of them. Like, you want to have both of them. Come at it with a two-pronged approach where you use both of those things. But a lot of people think you need the motivation first, and then that makes you take action. If you have that mm-hmm. motivation, fucking brilliant. I did. But a lot of it I had to engineer as well. You can trick your brain into... creating that motivation. Like I said, if you sit there and fantasize about how bad your life is going to be, and you spend the next 3 weeks doing nothing but writing down on a piece of paper how bad it will be, brainstorming all the ways your life will go to shit, Googling other people whose lives have gone to shit, finding people in your town or city who are unhappy because they didn't make the decisions that you're thinking about making now, like, brainwash yourself and start generating that motivation. You don't have to wait for the fucking motivation. You can engineer it. You can like brainwash yourself into feeling that negative motivation, like the fear, and also the positive motivation of like, how cool could my life be? Like, a lot of people, that's why they listen to my podcast and read my website and shit, because they're like, damn, I want to have threesomes. Like, mm-hmm. fantasize about that shit, guys. Like, if you like threesomes and shit, fucking like, look at the pictures, look at all the shit I'm talking about, think like, man, imagine if I could have a threesome. Like, start fucking fantasizing about that shit. Or if it's mm-hmm. the Approach Anxiety Program, man, imagine if I could get to the end and sit on a podcast with Andy and say that I've made it. Like, yeah, start fucking fantasizing about that shit.
Yeah, 100%. And like, the negative motivation thing was like a huge driving force, like, during the program for me too. Like, I'd be out there for like 2 hours and I'd approached like 10 people. I'm just like pissed at myself for like underperforming and just like not doing it. And then I'd hit up like 10 girls in like 10 minutes because I'm just fucking like so over being out there and just like fucking mad at myself. And that was when some of the best approaches actually happened, when I was just fucking done with everything and like, just you fucking go into it.
It's like I call it the fuck it moment, where you have that moment where you're just like, fuck it. And you just go crazy. That was me.
Yeah.
I had that, was it January this year? I think it was January, where I was having a conversation with Imogen and I was like about to fucking break down in tears. I didn't break down, but I was like close to it. And I was just like, I can't fucking do this anymore. And she's like, what? And I was like, I can't fucking be poor. I can't fucking stay up until 3 a.m. thinking of ways to make money, not paying the bills, eating into my savings and my debt even more, borrowing money from my fucking parents. I can't do this anymore. I can't be poor. I can't fucking give coaching calls to people for like $30 an hour, which doesn't fucking pay my bills. I can't do this. I just had a complete fucking breakdown. And I was like, fuck it. I'm done. I'm done with being poor. I'm done with it. And then I put all my prices up. I actually started asking people for fucking money instead of giving people discounts and shit like that. 2 months later, I hit for the goal that I'd had to achieve at the end of the year, $5,000 US a month. I hit that 2 months in a row, like the next 2 months after that moment, where I was just like, I'm fucking done. And then I just made my goal like 2 months in a row. You have the same shit with like Approach Anxiety. Those are the guys who are usually the most successful. The guys who are just like, I can't fucking be a loser anymore. I can't be fucking, I can't be the guy that doesn't get laid. I can't be the guy that women don't like. I can't be that guy anymore. I'm done. And then you see those guys like skyrocket their success. Like, those are the guys who go like, fuck it. I'm going outside to talk to 100 women over the next 2 days. Like Roger did a couple of months ago. 124 approaches in a day. Like,
my gosh.
That's the kind of fuck it moment. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was, I didn't approach that many girls, but I set like, I feel like deadlines are like huge motivators, like time constraints and deadlines. Because finishing the program, I was going to go out to Wisconsin. So I wanted to finish the program before I went to the wedding, so I could not have to like take like a week off of it. So I was like, all right, I got to call. I think I approached like 70 women or something. I had to call, I had to do the group day. I had to do Like your cute handshake, and then there it was like 3 days in one, I think I did.
Yeah.
And I went, I think I was out for like 6 hours. I think I walked like fucking like 30,000 steps or something. Fucking yeah. Walked like I went to like 5 malls and like hit up like it was crazy. And I was in like these deadlines and time constraints and were all just great motivators like the whole time. And like yeah. It was like there is no failing, you know? It's like fuck it, you have to do it.
You because you had a deadline, you said like March 30 or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mm-hmm. didn't have that, but like I had like a soft deadline in my head. I looked at Bad Idea Bear, who was a guy that I respected. He was one of those two guys that we talk to every day. Mm-hmm. And he crushed the program in like fucking, I don't even know. It was like 7 weeks or something.
Damn.
And so I was like, oh shit, I got it. And I think I did it in like, it was either 8 or 9. So I did it like pretty close. And mm-hmm. like that was a soft deadline in my head. I was like, I can't be sitting here for like 3 months. I think in my head I had roughly something like, it can't get to 3 months. I have to do it before 3 months. Chris said in the program 3 months, so I got to do it before that. Otherwise, I'm like a loser or whatever. Those deadlines fucking help, man. Like, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even like mini goals, it's like, I'm going to approach like 10 girls in 20 minutes, you know? And then you like start seeing the time ticking down and it just like lights your light. It just makes you go faster because you don't want to let yourself down. Like, I feel like letting yourself down is something that really... You got to be hard on yourself sometimes. Like you're the only, you got to kick your own ass for sure. Like having a support helps a lot, but like at the end of the day, it is just you out there. And if you don't try hard enough, you won't get enough out of it sometimes.
Yeah. And I do want to make it clear. You have to balance that with sometimes like being a little kinder to yourself, but
yeah,
you don't want to go too far in that direction either. It's like a weird balancing act. People ask me this question all the time. Like, how do I balance being nice with myself? You know, or how do I know if I'm being too easy on myself? But then how do I also know if I'm being too hard on myself? And it's like, bro, you're never going to get it perfect. Why do you think you're going to get it perfect? I don't fucking get it perfect. Sometimes you fuck it up. Sometimes you're a dickhead to yourself and you're like, man, I'm such an asshole. Sometimes you're a little pussy and you don't give yourself enough deadlines. You give yourself too long. You fuck around for too long. It's kind of like an ebb and flow. Sometimes you'll go really hard. Then you'll have a period of relaxing a little bit, then hard again. But I think the key point here is what you said, like, no one else is going to push you with the AA program or talking to girls or any of this. And if you wanted to, you could pretty comfortably have a complacent life. Like, I don't think anything particularly bad is going to happen if you just sit around watching Netflix and you have like an average job, maybe you earn like $70,000 a year. Like, nothing really bad will happen. You can have like a plain looking wife. Maybe she's moderately cute. Maybe you have decent kids who kind of like you. You go to like an average school. You have an average house. You have a mortgage for 30 years. Like, that's complacent. That's like comfortable. And I think that's the main reason people quit. I've asked a bunch of people. I ask people this question all the time. Why do you think people quit? And like, the most satisfactory answer that I've ever gotten was from one of my mates. And he says, they quit because they're comfortable. And he said, like, they're dangerously comfortable. They know if they quit, nothing bad happens. And if they push themselves, a lot of bad stuff will happen temporarily. Like, you doing the AA program sucks for the first like couple of weeks. It's fucking awful. And so people start for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I see this sometimes on the forums. They'll start with whatever project or goal they have. They do two or 3 weeks and they're like, this is harder. Why? When I was sitting on the couch watching Netflix, I felt like I was guilty. I felt like I should do more, but like, that wasn't that hard. This fucking sucks. I'm going to go back to that. They don't realize if they just stuck it out for another 2 weeks, it gets easier. You see the same with people doing like keto, like no carbs. Yeah. In the first 2 weeks, it's fucking awful. It feels like death. I get diarrhea. I get fucking no energy, fatigue. Like, it feels like death. Mm-hmm. I can't keep anything in my stomach. I basically don't eat for 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, I feel great, like way better than on carbs. But most people don't push through that initial period. And that's what I see with the AA program. Like, people quit within day fucking 15, they just leave. They're like, this is hard. They don't realize it gets easier or you get better at it.
That's interesting because I feel like I started because I was too comfortable. Because like, I've been coasting along pretty easily for the past like 3 years. You know, I mean, I live at home. I got a stable job. Like, I could, you know, I'm not trying to live off my mom forever, but I could live comfortably for a long time like this. And I see my other friends that are also somewhat similar in similar situations. I'm like, I don't want to be like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, that kind of really motivated me to step my game up because I was too comfortable and I felt guilty about being so comfortable too. I don't know.
You say that, but I'm going to do a word trick on you. I'm going to do a gotcha on you. And this isn't entirely fair, but whatever. If you were comfortable, why did you stop? You couldn't have been comfortable. If you were comfortable, by definition,
you
know what I mean?
No,
you were uncomfortable. You just thought it was comfort, but it's like there's something inside you saying like, this isn't okay. Because I had the same thing. I was comfortable in mm-hmm. the relationship that I ended before, right at the time mm-hmm. as I found Good Looking Loser. I was like, I had this moment where I was like, this is an abusive relationship. Like, this is fucking awful. We're both awful to each other. Not all the time, but like she hits me. Sometimes I hit her back. It's not fucking good, right? Like, mm-hmm. but I could see myself getting to 80 and still having her in my life because I do love her and she does mm-hmm. love me and we do have nice moments. And I was like, it was like terrifying because I saw like the version of myself that decided not to break up with her. And I was like, I could just be an 80-year-old man and like this was my whole life. Like, and this is mm-hmm. kind of comfortable. Like, we have a nice time. Yeah, we fight, but we only fight like once every 3 months. And yeah, they're horrible fucking evil fights, but like once every 3 months isn't that bad. But there was something inside me that said like, no, that's not okay. This isn't okay. Like, this isn't okay. And you obviously had the same thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have fucking done all this crazy.
I mean, you got me thinking about that. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, it was comfortable, but there was something wrong. Like, there was something that, like, either was not satisfying or, you know, there was just some void of not fulfilling it myself. And I don't know exactly. It's a pretty deep thing to think about, I guess.
It is. Because from my perspective, what I care about, maybe you probably don't give a shit about this, but like what I care about as a coach, I care about how can I take what you did and what I did and give someone else some useful information so they can do it. I don't want to just say like, oh, we were uncomfortable and that's why. And so someone's mm-hmm. like, well, fuck, mm-hmm. what do I do with that? I am comfortable. Yeah. How do I think the answer here is just what we said before. You have to engineer discomfort. You have to sit there and fantasize about how bad it will be if you stay like this. That's what I had to do. Like, I was comfortable. I had to literally teach, like, show myself, like, no, no, no. If I keep this up in 80 years, I probably will be miserable. Like, I had to project into the future and say, this level of comfort feels nice now, but will it feel nice in 10 years? Probably not, because it'll be too late by then. And I know I could have done better. And that won't be comfortable. Regret is not comfortable. And you don't want to have regrets when you're a 40-year-old man, which I would have been. Like, that doesn't feel fucking good.
Yeah. I feel like one of the things that may be uncomfortable is reaching 30. And I think you talked about this too, is that like, I haven't like really done anything yet. And I'm like getting to be 30. And like, as a like 20-year-old, you think like 30 is the end. And like, I've been talking to Brandon. He's like, no, 30 is like the beginning, man. And like,
Yeah,
so I've come to realize that too. And I'm really happy that I've done this now because there's so much more good shit to look forward to for the next like 12 years or something, you know?
Yeah. It always cracks me up. I'm always like empathetic and shit because I was exactly the same. So I don't like dismiss it, but it does always make you giggle. And like, I want to pat you on the head and say like, oh, precious, sweet boy, like sweet child. Trust me, when you get to 30, like, especially when you're like my age, like what am I now? 33. I'll be 34 in like this month. That's why I had to think about it. Like when you get to 34, it's like, dude, shit's just beginning. I'm nowhere near maxed out. I have like fucking 15 kilos of muscle to put on. Like, I lost my abs. I'm getting back in there. Like, I'm so fucking far from maxed out. I want to get more money and take photos of me with like suits and like lifestyle photos, me by the beach sipping cocktails, like shit that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I have like a whole fucking life ahead of me to live. And like in terms of girls, I still feel like it's going to sound hilarious to some people listening. I still feel like I'm still figuring shit out. Like, I'm nowhere near maxed out, not even remotely close, like fucking 20% of where I want to be and where I'm going to get to. And like, I'm 30 fucking four. Even when I'm 40, I have no doubt now because I know a couple of guys who are 40 and they're slaying. When I'm 40, I'm going to be like, okay, now I'm in my groove. I'm starting to figure shit out. I know what I'm doing. Like, I have a fucking template. If girls don't like my template, they can get the fuck out. I already feel like that. But like, by the time I'm 40, man, I'm going to be so fucking like rigid and like good with that shit, stubborn. Fuck yeah. Like, you have no idea, dude. Anytime I hear someone saying like, I'm 28, like, you know, I'm old. It's like, bro, get fucking real. Are you serious? When you're in your 20s, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Every 20-year-old guy listening right now, your ego is not going to want to hear this, but you have no idea what the fuck you're doing. Be honest. Be honest with me. Leave a comment below. Tell me if you're 20 something. You can't tell me that you know what you're fucking doing with life. You think you do. Your ego wants you to tell you that you do, but like you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I will tell you right now, me at 34, I'm almost starting to figure it out. Mm. I think that's the biggest transition in your 30s is realizing, like, first of all, like, oh shit, I know nothing. And that's when the real learning starts happening because you drop that fucking ego and you're just humble and you listen to any advice. I'm going on a complete fucking side tangent rant here, but whatever. That's what boomers do.
I mean, but it's a lot of good points. You know, I think the thing about ego too is like really important is like, I think I've been able to grow too because I've been able to listen to what other people have said. Like Brandon's like fucking, that guy's like a genius, man. Like he said so many things to me that like, he's hella smart. Like he said so many things to me that I'm like, fuck man. Like you're only like 2 years older than me, but you seem like you're like so much smarter. You
know, did coaching and that like really helped.
Exactly. Yeah. He schooled me with some like crazy psychological thing like not too long ago. I was like, damn, dude, like you're fucking with my brain right now.
Yeah. I love those kind of like brain hacks and shit. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, just listening to other people is like huge because you can only gain so much information like by doing things. But if you can learn from other people that have more experience, that's like so valuable too.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I think that's why it's so important to, even if you just join the forums, but I'm really going to recommend most people starting the program, like just make some fucking friends. Just pick a random person who's doing the program with you and say like, yo, can we chat on fucking Telegram or WhatsApp or Skype or something? Like, can we just have each other's backs? You don't even have to be in the same country. I wasn't with those two guys. One was in the UK and the USA, but you need someone every day who'll give a shit about you and you give a shit
100%.
About them.
Yeah. I'm happy to see that there's like a small group of, guys that are all kind of starting around the same time. I mean, I know like you just said, like they're not really validated until they finish, but they seem pretty serious so far. I mean, it's been like their first week, so we'll see where they go, but I'm happy to see that.
Cynical and old like me.
I'm happy to see that there's people starting though. And that kind of like this whole thing is coming up again. You know,
you'll find that happens. This shit comes in waves because everybody's too scared to be the first person. I can't tell you how many coaching calls I have with someone where I'm like, do the program. And they just don't want to do it. And I'm like, do it. But I can't make them, right? Even if I set it as homework and I say like, you have to do it. Otherwise you're, you know, a fucking loser or something. I can't make them do it. It's a big scary thing.
I wish there was like a way to put into words the type of like gains that you'll get like mentally, physically, like emotionally from doing the program. Cause there's no way to explain it. Like, I don't think I could.
That's what this podcast is. That's what.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But like, I don't know. It's just, I still haven't found the words to like explain how much better of a person I feel now after having done it.
Here's the best way of doing it. And it's easier for me because I'm further along. So you'll be able to do this in like 2 years, maybe even a year. Right. Guys, everything I've achieved, I could not have done without the AA program. That's it. That's like the winning statement right there. So if you look on my website and you like anything I've done, if you like the threesomes, if you like all the lays, if you like this, if you like that, whatever it fucking is, any of it, if you're like, that's cool, I wish I could do that, I couldn't have done it without the AA program. Do I think that it was possible without the AA program? For me, no, fuck no. Fuck no. Are you serious? Fuck no. I couldn't have like started a coaching business without that confidence. Certainly couldn't have fucking gotten laid as much as I did. No way in hell. I needed that. Even though now I'm like the Tinder guy and most of my lays are on Tinder, that confidence only came from the AA program. Like that ability to handle rejection. Cause guess what? You get rejected on Tinder way more than you do in person. You get flaked on way more. You get ignored way more. Girls in person don't fucking ignore you. If they do, it's like 1 in 50 and you think like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Whereas on Tinder, like fucking 9 out of 10 matches won't reply to your first message. They just don't because they've got 500 other guys that they've matched with. So if you want the best endorsement of the program, like anything you think that I've done that's cool, like I couldn't have done without the program. And again, you'll be able to say the same thing in like a year or two. You'll be having threesomes, whatever the fuck it is you want. And you'll be able to tell people like, I can only do this shit because of the program. Do the fucking program. Like if you like me and you envy my shit, do the fucking program.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, even like the little things that are starting right now, like moving out, like if I didn't do the program, I wouldn't even have thought of moving out just yet. You know, I'd be like, oh, I need to like get a better job. I got to get a good savings. You know, these are all just excuses that you've made for yourself to like not do things. And doing the program, it's like, okay, you just got to do these things and then that's it.
one of the things that comes up when you're facing your approach anxiety is you realize that approach anxiety takes many, many forms. It's like a fucking Medusa head. There's like you cut one head off and another one just comes up. Sometimes it's like, oh, I feel tired today. And then you realize like, no, that's just fucking anxiety. Or sometimes it's more specific. That girl is on the phone. I can't interrupt her. No, that's just fucking approach anxiety. Just wait till she finishes talking if you really don't want to interrupt her. Or just gently tap her on the shoulder and say like, hey, 1 second. Like, you know what I mean? There's a million fucking write your number down and your name on a piece of paper and just write, you're really fucking cute. Text me if you think I'm cute too and hand it to her and just like give her a thumbs up and shit. Like there's a million fucking things you can do.
Yeah.
Like you're just using excuses. The point that I'm getting to here is through the process of the approach anxiety program and then going on to actually hit on girls, you realize how many of those excuses are absolute bullshit. And that carries over to the rest of your fucking life. You have no idea. Like you will hear excuses and you're in your head and they seem rational. Mm-hmm. And you'll go like, no, but so did all of the excuses I used with the approach anxiety program. And I quickly realized all of those were just bullshit excuses. And so then you turn yourself into a person who takes action. And that's probably the biggest thing or one of the biggest things that the approach anxiety program gives you is this ability to have a goal or a mission or something that scares you or something you want to try or challenge and just fucking do it. Just fucking start.
Yeah.
Because you hear the excuses and you go like, fuck off. That's the same nonsense that I heard when I was doing the program. It's almost like you don't trust your own negative thoughts. You don't trust your own brain. You go, my brain is lying to me right now. My brain is just trying to keep me safe. Fuck that shit. I'm going to try this anyway. And I think that's like the biggest effect is that for the rest of your life, dude, anytime you feel something that's scary, like moving out or anything like that, getting a new fucking job, getting a promotion, applying for an apartment that you don't think you're going to get. Like all of this shit, you're just like, no, no excuses. I'm going to do it. And most of the time you succeed. And it's only because you went through the program.
Yeah, it's interesting because like I'll hear my friend say something about why he can't do this or this and that. And I'm like, it makes sense, but it's just an excuse. You know, it's like, oh, I'm working too long. Oh, I can't wake up this early. Oh, I don't have time. It's like, well, no, you do have all these things and you can do this, but you're just giving yourself an out. And like,
yeah. And for anyone listening who has some of those excuses, Brandon and I talked about them on our podcast, but we can kind of rehash it here. If you have the excuse of like, I don't have enough time, I work too much, whatever it is, those kind of excuses. You almost have to like just give yourself permission to try. Like, I don't know if that's a satisfying way of saying it. It's almost like you have to just not trust your bullshit excuses and just say like, what happens if I just try? Like he didn't say it, but Ed, another guy that I interviewed, different podcast, he said, you have to accept the fact that you're a newbie. And so if your brain is saying, you know, I don't have enough time to do this or whatever weird excuse comes up, you have to say like, that's wrong. Like my brain is so fucking stupid. I'm a newbie. How the fuck do I know if I have enough time? I have to trust like you, me, who have done the program and tell you like everyone has enough time. I promise you have enough time.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but do you find that... No. Here's one more point I want to make. Anyone who's coming up with excuses right now, I want to say this to you. Stop looking for problems and start looking for solutions. Like, shut the fuck up with your problems. No one cares about your fucking problems. I don't give a fuck about your problems. Okay, that's not true. I do care about your problems. But, like, I don't want to validate your fucking problems. I want to acknowledge your problems and then work past them. One thing that a bunch of people have said to me, like, separately that I really fucking appreciate, it's probably the best compliment I've ever gotten, is they say, you always look for solutions. Anything I ever tell you, you immediately tell me a solution. And I think that's one of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten. You guys have to brainwash yourself or train yourself to do the same thing. If your brain says, I don't have enough time, you say like, okay, can I fit in like one approach during lunchtime? Can I do a couple of approaches in the morning? Can I on Saturday and Sunday just like bust out a bunch of approaches? Can I spend 8 hours doing this shit and then maybe don't do as much during the weekend? What about at 5 p.m. after work, instead of like driving home, can I walk like a little bit? Can I park my car like 15 minutes walk from work and just walk that bit and then talk to any girls when I see them? Can I go out on my lunch break and you know, can I talk to girls in the elevator? Again, most of this stuff is not that like hard to do, but you got to start like looking for those solutions and not focusing on these problems. Because you're right, like you can make excuses till the cows come home and they seem rational. That's yeah, the 100%. Kicker. They always seem rational.
Yeah, the time thing I think is so silly as well. Because like
it's so fucking dumb. It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah. Like I was literally like going to work just 30 minutes before and walking around, and like there's not that much around my work. I mean, there's like a Trader Joe's and like a restaurant down the street. And like I would go to that Trader Joe's like 5 times a week.
Yeah.
The same Trader Joe's, like, and just talk to everybody in there that I could, and you just make it work, you know? Like,
yeah.
Also thought it was really funny. You said in the podcast with Brandon that like, oh, I'm Asian. Like I'm fucking Asian, and I did it. I'm half Asian. I was laughing when I heard that. Like that's like
because you don't hear it from my point of view. How many fucking shitheads come to me and say like, I'm short, I'm Asian, I'm Indian, yeah. I'm this, I'm that, and it's like, just shut the fuck up and go talk to girls, please.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up and do it. Yeah, and you have no idea. I have fucking Asian friends who get laid like crazy. I've had the dumbest one that I've ever had is someone said like, I'm black and like you can't, like black guys can't get laid. And I was like, dude, that's black insane. Is a fetish on Pornhub, you fucking yeah. idiot. Like, it's dude, a like, fucking fetish.
Most of the black guys I know like slay. Like, dude, they're yeah. like sometimes I wish I was black because they fucking slay, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting that people's like perspective on themselves are like so much harsher. Than just like what it really is.
It's not even that. It's I don't even think they believe half the stuff they're saying. It's just mm-hmm. a very convenient excuse. And it sounds rational.
Yeah.
If I mm-hmm. say I'm short, you can't harass me for not getting laid. Like that's mm-hmm. that's what's in their mind. But again, guys,
yeah.
stop looking for problems. Look for solutions. If you're short, wear height-increasing shoes. Talk to mm-hmm. women who are shorter than you. Stand on your fucking tippy toes yeah, if you have to.
Get these things.
I threw out my pair of them when we moved. I loved those
Did
things,
you?
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone listening to the audio who can't see the video, like those are height-increasing insole, like you put them in your shoes.
I feel like when I put them on for the first time, I had like a change of perspective of like the world. Like I felt like massive, and I was like... Like you like walk up to like a short chick and you're like, damn, like this is sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have the same shit because yeah. mine make me taller as well, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, this is what it feels like to be a giant. Like this is
exactly.
It feels so yeah. weird. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, it's cool. I'm 5'10". I was trying to hit 6 foot, but like being actually 6 foot, I was like, damn, like I'm fucking tall. Like this is crazy.
That's yeah. Again, I had the exact same shit when I put them on. I was like, I put the big ones on, so I was like, I'm 6 foot
oh, yeah.
fucking five. Like I'm a giant. Like you do like feel like a fucking. It's too big. It's yeah. too big. I don't want to be that big. I don't want to be any bigger than I am. Like uh-huh. wearing the inserts, I don't want to be taller than I am. Like mm-hmm. I think there is a height where you're just almost like a freak, not a freak, but like freakishly tall. I've done yeah. podcasts with guys who are like 6'8", and it's like. Bro, that's like too tall, dog. Like that's like
yeah.
you gotta fucking reach down to like touch.
I mean, you're like bonking your head on doors and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
at that height, yeah, like,
cumbersome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
yeah,
especially on public transport and shit. Like it, when mm-hmm. I wear the inserts, I don't wear them anymore. But when I did, I only wore them for a little bit to try them. I would like bang my head. There's like a bar on most of the trains that I would get on. And it's like you have to. It's so annoying, dude. It's not.
Yeah,
fun. It's not.
Yeah. Fun. That yeah, there. I definitely would suggest people to try the lifts just because, for one, they make you taller and they're not that uncomfortable, and
yeah.
it's just like an interesting perspective change. Like you see the world differently when you're like a few inches yeah. taller. It's yeah. weird. Like until you try them, you won't really be able to visualize like how different things look.
Yeah,
and, or just and people around you too.
People around you do treat you a little differently. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, it's partly because you're taller, but it's also just because you have like a weird confidence when you put them on. I've seen plenty of short dudes who just fucking carry themselves. One of the dudes that I'm friends with that gets laid like as much as me, but the girls are way hotter. Like he's short. He's like a little fucking short boy. Like I can pat him on his fucking little head. Like he's so fucking cute, but he's so confident. He's just yeah. so got like masculine. He'll just talk to fucking random strangers. He'll flirt with women in Subway. Like he just like goes over the top with his flirting and shit. He just doesn't give a fuck about anything. Like even during all the crazy lockdowns and COVID shit, when everyone was going batshit insane, I was breaking the rules, but I was just like nervous about it. And I don't like confrontation. This motherfucker would like, you know, they'd say like, hey, you can't sit down. And he'd just be like, all right, so I'm going to sit down. And they're just like, ah, sir, like you can't do that. And he's like, yeah, well, I am going to anyway. And he doesn't give a fuck about anything, this guy. And like, this guy gets pussy, like fucking crazy. Girls like obsess about this guy. And he's short because he just doesn't give a fuck. Again, look for solutions, not problems. If you're a short guy, yeah. Work on being more confident. Fucking take jiu-jitsu or something that will make you confident. Take improv classes. Mm-hmm. Take theater. Take acting. Fucking anything. Wear height increasing shoes. Like, look for solutions. There are 50 solutions. Go find them. I've just given you some.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like dress better too, you know, like once I started dressing a little better, like it was a game changer, you know, like I bought like a coat from Zara and I felt fucking like a model, you know, I'm like, dude, I just like feel sexy, you know, and like, I think girls are like looking at me and I just like, it just, it's crazy how much like just a little outfit change can really make a difference in your life.
It's you taking yourself seriously and when you take yourself seriously, other people do. Like, mm-hmm. if you put in some effort, other people are like, oh, I got to respect this guy. He's not just like the average pleb. He's trying to be something more than the average person. Okay, yeah. I'll treat him like he's more than the average person.
Yeah, and there's like some sort of like subconscious thing that like people around you can feel. Like when you know that you like look good, you like emanate some sort of presence that like chicks pick up on for sure. Like I don't know if it's like a posture thing, but like I put my like coat on and my nice boots and like I'm like walking around like fucking proud, you know, like Chris says, like, walk around like you're Superman with the S on your chest, you know, like fucking puffed up and like, you know, like you just, it's interesting because you really like presence is like a huge thing when you dress really nice because you just feel like people notice you.
And they do because you feel like that.
Yeah.
It's like you make more eye contact. You look more confident. You take like you have better posture. I mock all the time people who say like, oh, you got to look like an alpha male and shit, because I think that goes too far in the other direction. But like there is some truth to that, to posture for sure. And how you feel about yourself and your confidence and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like people pick up on that shit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the biggest thing was like really just changing my style for me. Because like I dressed like shit forever, you know, like fucking graphic tees and like blue jeans for like my whole life. And then I bought like a pair of like nice black pants, like nice boots. You know, start wearing like rings and like fucking bracelets and shit. Nice. And like, yeah, it really makes a difference, even though it's just like a little subtle change, just a little edge to your like style and stuff.
Mm. And I think bringing it back to the Approach Anxiety program, that's one of the benefits of the program is that like you get a little bit into it and you go like, should I start dressing better? Should I lose some fat? Like, should I hit the gym? Cause it's like you're out there talking to girls anyway. And you get some good results, like some good responses. You're not hitting on them properly. You're just doing like the drills in the program. But some of them start responding well to you. And you're like, maybe I should like snowball this a little bit and wear a fucking necklace or, you know, wear a decent t-shirt, like wear a tight fitting t-shirt. Maybe I should lose some fat. You start doing this shit to get those better results. And then, like you said before, you said at the start of the podcast, you start seeing results and then that makes you want to get more results. Like as soon as you get that feedback loop, holy shit, man, like this shit really becomes fun.
Yeah, yeah. Getting those good results is like such a huge motivator. Like I remember the first time, I think it was like a compliment day and I like walked up to a girl. I was like, hey, I think you're like, your hair's really nice. And she's like, oh yeah. And she like wanted to talk to me, you know, like, and I didn't even try at all. I just like gave her a little compliment and she like was super into me. And I was just like, damn, like this shit is working. Like this is what's up.
The shit's so fun. Like,
yeah,
I really hope people listening to this like do the program. Again, it's fucking free. Like there's no excuse. It's not, it doesn't even cost fucking money. It's like I say the same shit with like my Tinder guide. If someone doesn't want to get laid on Tinder, it's like I have a free fucking guide. And like the Approach Anxiety program is free. You can I'm not gonna say they're the best, but like maybe they are. Maybe he has the best way to get laid through cold approach on the internet, and maybe I have the best Tinder guide. I don't know. Like I'd have to go fucking figure that shit out. But like getting laid in this fucking year in a Western country, or even if you're not, like it's fucking free. And the best two guides are on the internet. Like there's no fucking excuses. Like, come on. 100%. But it's hilarious that most people don't. Like don't listen to this and give us five excuses as to why they're different to you.
100%. Yeah. It's interesting. Cause like, I never got into like the pickup artist type of this, you know, I just, I've happened upon the program like super randomly. I was like watching a More Plates, More Dates video. Like commented like, oh, I'm starting GLL. I'm like, what the fuck is GLL? I just like looked it up, went into it. I'm like, oh, okay, this might be what I need. And it is, it was amazing. But like the pickup artist stuff just seems like super cringy. It's like, oh, you got to have like a calculated response. And like, if she says that your outfit looks good, then you respond with this like random thing that you say. And then it's like, it just seems so artificial and lame, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
If you actually try it, it's weird. Like it just seems doesn't like feel it. Like a weird, a normal conversation.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Like it just doesn't make sense. You know, like Chris talks about just like improving yourself, confidence, and just fucking getting out there. And like, really, that's all it is. Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah. And just experience.
So that's everything you've done before, everything you've done in the past. You've done the program, crushed it. What's next? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want next? What are your goals? Like, obviously moving out first, but like, think a little bigger than that. Over the next, like, say 5 years. Like, what's your biggest, loftiest, craziest, most batshit goal that you probably never admitted to anyone else?
That's tough. I don't honestly think that far into the future.
Okay, then think about something. It doesn't have to be a timeline, but just think, what's the coolest fucking thing that I want to have? If it's like, I want to have an orgy with 5 women that I'm sleeping with. Like, something fucking crazy.
One of my goals is to definitely go to Japan and, like, you know, pick up a Japanese chick. Like, that's definitely up there, you know? And I tried that in Japan, and I was fucking nervous. Because I've been before, and I went to bars and, like, tried to, like, talk to girls. Like, my friend actually is marrying a girl that he met out there. So he's living what I wanted to do. But that's something I want to do, and go out there and just, like, slay in Japan.
Now that you've, like, finished the program, you'll go over there, and within the first week, you'll be like, oh, well, this was easy. Like, why was this 100%. So hard the other time? Like, it won't even be difficult. It would just be so fucking easy.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes. Like, fantasize about, like, when COVID's done, I can fly out there. Like, I'm just going to slay. It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. Cute little
like, I have so much... Yeah, I have so much self-confidence now that I would be able to just do that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel like I could fail if I tried.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, you're so big. Oh, Mr. American Man. Oh, my God. You're so like, that's so fucking racist. I don't give a fuck.
But it might just be like that, you know? I mean, who knows? I think it will be
exactly in that voice, dude. You got to, like, record it for 100%. Give it to me for science. Give me that.
Yeah, for science.
Mm-hmm. If other people want to do what you've done, give them like one tip. I'll put you on the spot here a little bit, but like, what's one tip? And you're welcome to steal anything that we've said previously in this podcast, but like, someone wants to do the program. They're scared. They're nervous. They're on the fence. They're not 100% sure. Like, what would you say to that person?
Well, obviously just fucking do it. but
do it, pussy.
Yeah, like, don't be a fucking bitch. Like, you're not going to die. Like, you're not going to die. Nobody's going to come out there and, like, fucking, like, fight you or anything. Like, my tip for success would just be consistency. Honestly, like, if you do one, if it takes you 10 months and you do one approach a day, you've still finished. Like, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll look back. Even if it takes you 10 months, if it takes you fucking 3 years, I think Chris even said this in the program somewhere. He said, like, even if it takes you 3 years, who cares? Like, are you serious? In 3 years, you'll have the ability to walk up to any girl that you're attracted to and ask for her number. Mm-hmm. Is that not a fucking superpower that's worth waiting 3 years for? It won't take you 3 years. You can do it within 3 months. But even if it did, that's not much of a sacrifice. I only have to wait 3 years and then I get to just hit on anyone. Like, what the fuck? That's putting aside all the other benefits you get from the program.
Mm-hmm. I just thought about it for a little more. My actual, like, why you should do it response would be that the program is structured in a way that you're not making leaps and bounds in, like, what you need to do. Like, it's you ask the time, and then the next day you ask the time, and then directions. It's like, those are easy things. Like, it's baby steps, you know? Like, even when you're doing the hard things, like, the hardest thing, or the, like, most crazy thing that you ever have to do, and it's a challenge, is going up to a girl for the glasses day and asking them, like, if they'd fuck you if you wore glasses. Like,
I found that, like, one easy.
I was nervous when I did it, but I got two great responses.
Did you get a yes?
So I think she wanted to say yes. So the first girl
I got no yeses. What the fuck?
So I didn't get a yes exactly, but I only did it twice. The first girl, I went up, I was so fucking nervous. And then I was like, hey, like, do you know where to buy hipster glasses? And then she's like, no. I was like, oh, would you fuck me if I wore hipster glasses? And she, like, just, like, looked at me and, like, walked away. And then I was like, okay, I did it. I fucking did it. I was like amped up. I had hella adrenaline. And then some other cute chick walks up behind me and I do it. I'm like, hey, just one more question. Would you fuck me if I had hipster glasses? And she like paused and like thought for a little bit. She was like, have a nice day. And like walked away, like all smiling and like laughing a little bit. So I was like, that's like almost, she wanted to say yes, but she, you know, or something, you know, it was a good response.
She wants that D, son. She wants that.
Yeah,
D.
Exactly. You know, like she's like, damn, this guy, like, but yeah, it was interesting. But that's like the hardest thing that you have to do the whole program. Everything else is not nearly as scary as that might seem.
Yeah. And the whole point of the program, he tells you this at the start, you're not allowed to look ahead. Like you have to take each day as it is. Day one, don't look at anything except day one. Day two, don't look ahead. Just look at day two. And every time, and I stuck to that. I was very good. I didn't look ahead. I didn't peek. I did everything that he said. And every day when I would wake up and look at the drills for that day, I'd be like, oh, this isn't that bad. This is just like yesterday, but like a slightly little tiny bit harder. But I got confidence yesterday, so I'm pretty sure I can do this. And so it's like you're constantly moving the goalpost forward, but only like one step at a time. And so every single day, maybe you'll have one or two days that are hard. Sure, fine. But you'll remember like, yeah, but I had previous hard days that I did okay on. So like I should be okay on this one. It never feels impossible. It never feels overwhelming. Yeah. It never feels overwhelming.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know if I think that looking at other people's posts are helpful or not yet. Because I've looked at some of like Brandon's and some of yours, and like if you compare yourself to other people, it can either do you good or do you bad, because you might like get a good response on a day and they might say, like you could read it and they're like, oh, this was like the hardest day I had. And then you might go into thinking that like it's also going to be a hard day for you. So that could like kind of fuck you up a little bit.
What helped me was I only read the logs of people that I was doing the program with at the same time. And so we would post in each other's logs, and I'd say, like, someone would say, like, hey, I did this drill. Even if they were ahead of me, they would say, like, hey, I'm on day 30 or whatever. I did this drill. It was so hard. I would post and be like, oh, dude, what was hard about it? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry, you did a good job. Like, and so you'd get feedback, and they could say, like, well, I guess it wasn't that hard. I was just, like, having a bad day. Like, you get more context, because you're right. If you look at... If you just look at the person's post, if they're crushing it, you can start feeling like, oh my God, I'm not good enough. Remember that what they write in a post, I say this all the time about my website, my lays, you know, my pictures, everything I do, every podcast I do, you're getting the best version of me. Like, yes, I share my insecurities. I think I do a pretty good job of that. Yes, I tell you when I'm having a bad day, but like, I don't fucking like grab a camera and stick it on myself so you can see how bad a day I'm having. And remember, if I'm even jumping in front of the camera and recording a podcast, I have meditated and taken a deep breath and taken some time and gotten myself to a point where I can sit in front of the camera. But maybe an hour ago, I couldn't. You don't see that hour ago. You just see me jumping on camera saying like, oh, I'm in a bad mood. But like, I'm in a better mood than I was an hour ago. And the same with people's logs. If they're even able to type on the keyboard, they're better. They're probably in a better place than they were like an hour ago when they were fucking angry and like, you know, not in a good place. So you see 100%. The best version of someone's, but you know your worst version of yourself because you're there, you're present. So you compare yourself and you say like, man, I'm such a fucking loser. I'm so angry. I'm so emotional. I can't deal with shit. How come they can all deal with shit? It's like, they're probably just as fucking, as much of a fucking train wreck as you. You just only see the good bits once they've calmed down.
Yeah, I think when reading people's, like you said, you know, the reflection of the drill is more important than them actually doing it, because there are a lot of lessons to learn from what people have done in the drills. Like for me, setting time constraints, mini goals, like Brandon talks about having like a word that like motivates you. Like if you say this word, there's like no not doing it. Stuff like that is really important. You know, all these lessons that you learn, and it's hard to like. Like you mentioned, like you can read as many fucking books as you want, but until you go out there and do it, like you won't be able to absorb the information. Like,
yeah, it doesn't mean anything when it's words on page. And I say this all the time. You can listen to my podcast and they sound nice and they're entertaining and I'm making you feel good and I'm giving you that dopamine hit, but that's not the same as you actually going, okay, I'm going to do what this motherfucker says and I'm going to sign up for Tinder. I'm going to go outside and do the AA program. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to sign up for his forums and post about my life and my goals and what I want. Yeah, listening to the, and I guess I'll give a challenge to anyone listening. if you have been doing what we're, if you're a lurker, if you're a little creepy lurker motherfucker that you just watch everything, fucking do something. If you've never signed up for my forums, fucking sign up right now. That's my challenge to you right now. Go to my forums, sign up. It's killyourinnerloser.com/forums. Go sign up. Go say hello. Go say where you are, you know, what you're doing in life, what you want. Actually put yourself out there and take that first step. If you've never done, if you don't want to do that, go and buy one of the 15 fucking books that I recommend. The Slight Edge. No More Mr. Nice Guy. You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. Go to Good Looking Loser and start the AA program. I'll leave a link in the description below to where it is. Go start it. Fucking hit me up for coaching. Send me an email and say, hey, can you fucking yell at me? Join the Winners Club. Do something. Just do something. Please do something. Anything. Just do something. Don't keep lurking because stuff doesn't get better. And I don't think it's... I once had someone who basically sent me an email saying like, I get turned on watching your like pictures, looking at your pictures and listening to your like, something like your podcast actually turned me on. And I was maybe a little bit too harsh, but I replied and I was like, you creepy fuck. I don't want you to just sit there jerking off over my shit, you fucking loser. Like, go and actually do some of it. I wasn't quite that angry, but like that was the sentiment. It's like, I don't want you to fucking jerk off over me. If I wanted you to jerk off over my voice, I'd do some fucking ASMR or some shit, right? I would have a better voice. I'd get a voice coach and I'd do like ASMR. And like, I'd make you fucking, I'd do fucking porn or something. I want you to fucking do the shit that I'm doing. Like, what is the point of me doing shit? And I'm sure you'll get to a point where you, once you've achieved like a few more lays and stuff like that, you'll probably be the same. You'll be like, what? There's no point me getting laid and doing all this stuff if other people aren't going to do it too. Like, I want to be the one that has to like lay the groundwork, inspire others. It's very shallow if you just live a life. And this happens pretty much everyone who goes on to do like, you know, what you've done, the AA program and stuff. You came on this podcast to fucking tell other people to do the program. Like, you're already doing like, the thing that I'm saying right now.
You want that's all I want is for more people to do it. You know, like I know like Brandon, he's doing a great job of like getting people to actually like come on. He's great, man. Like he's like, you know, really supportive of a bunch of people. And like, it's, I don't know, like we're thinking back, like we were trying to guess how many people have completed the program since it's like inception. Okay. It's like 20 or 30 people. And there's been like, what, like maybe it's a little more, I don't know, but there's been like 1,000 people.
Are you talking about like on my forums?
Well, just in general over time. Like, I don't know the number, like since 2013 when Chris started GLL. Like,
it's more than 20. It's way more than 20.
Okay.
Like, we can go back and I'm a moderator on those forums. I can actually like search and do stuff you guys can't do.
How many do you think it is?
Completed the program?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause some people quit the program towards the end when they can talk to girls. They move on and go talk to girls. Does that count? Because I count that as a success. If you do, if you then go on to get laid. And you can cold approach and shit like that. Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay, yeah, that's fine then, yeah.
In that case, I'm going to guess like 80.
Like 80? But that's still like not like...
I know, that's like fuck all, isn't it? I told you.
Yeah, that's like nothing. The fucking program. Yeah, there's like so many people like that have started it and got to like day like 4, 5, 7, and then you just never hear from them. You know, like...
That would be several thousand people.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it's like
99.9% of people don't finish.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm so like not cynical, but I'm just like, it's not even cynicism. It's like you got to get to like day 35 before 40, day 40, and I'll give you credit. Like before that, so you're not like, it sounds harsh, but like you don't mean anything to me because I've seen it like 500 other times, like over the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So please do the program, guys. And you don't even have to fucking finish the program. Just get to day 46. Like,
yeah,
the program goes on beyond that. I stopped at day 46. So maybe you can say I didn't finish the program. But that's the day where he says, okay, now you're ready to hit on women. You can keep doing the program if you want to, or you can start hitting on women. He says, I recommend you keep doing the program. I didn't. I was like, fuck it. I'm here to hit on women. I'm going to stop now.
Yeah, I also stopped at that point too. Because Brandon was telling me, like, I looked through ahead and it's like, oh, you're going to call a girl cute and then they'll be like, oh, you gotta, will you be my bodyguard for the day? It's like, what benefit does that really serve you other than like, because day 40 to 46, they're like real approaches almost. Like you're calling girls cute, you're giving your name, you're getting a handshake. Like that's an approach essentially.
Yeah.
And you do that, like, I think you approach like 300 girls that week or something. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's like some real shit there. So it's like, I say for day 46 is the finish, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah.
But yeah, like 1% of people finish. And that's like an achievement in itself. You know, like, I'm super stoked that I even got that like under my belt, you know?
I mean, we didn't talk about it and I didn't say anything, but like, you do get props, dude. Like, I gave it to Brandon, so maybe I'm a dickhead for not giving it to you earlier, but like, good fucking job, dude. Like, this was fucking hard. You have, that's why I said earlier in the podcast, like, you're now at my level, and not in terms of like threesomes and shit like that. Fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you're on the same path as me now.
Mm-hmm.
And at least in this one metric, I'm like, yeah, this guy gets like full props. He's like, we're peers now in terms of like approach anxiety and shit like that. Yeah, it's like we're two brothers that went through something at different times. Fine. But it's like, I went to war and then you went to war 5 years later. We're going to have a fucking connection, even if we didn't fight in the same war. So good job, dude. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you have done something that 1% of people do, if maybe less than that. Probably less than that.
And that in itself is like such a huge confidence booster, too. It's like, Brandon mentioned, like, you, not that you're like being narcissistic, but you think you're better than everyone else because they couldn't do this. You know, like, I don't
it's
think
not even that you're better. It's like, you've done something others can't do. And so he and I got to that discussion. We got to the point where we said, okay, it's not that you're better, but other people have to prove that they're on your level. You've proven it. So it's like, you guys can catch up to me, but you have to do the catching up. Like, I am now here and you guys are all here. And it's not that I'm better, but I'm going to wait till you guys get up here. And then when you get up here, I'm going to say, okay, we're equal. If you don't get up to me, then yeah, sure, I am better, so to speak. Or I've done something worth respecting that you haven't done yet. So I'm more worthy of respect, if you want to call it that, rather than like better. But you do feel better. Like,
you do.
let's turn the podcast off right now so I can tell you, like, yeah, you are better than other people. But like, everyone listening, pretend I didn't say that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that, nobody said that. Nobody heard that.
You do fit. I go back and forth on this because I think most people listening would say that you're better. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because people respond so negatively to like a value judgment like that. Whether you say like, "Oh, you're better. You're special. You're a better person."
But I'm not, though. I'm just a normal guy. You know,
like, that's the point that frustrates me. That's the point that frustrates me because like that's been the core content of my. Well, that's been the core message of my content since I started. I'm not better. I can do this shit. You sure as hell can too. That's the motto of my website. And yet, most people don't. That's the bit that I fail to like reconcile. Like, I'm not special. I know I'm not special, but yet other people don't do it. And I think it's just that other people don't want it bad enough. So it's not that they're not special or they're not good enough. It's almost like they have a different rule book or they have different stuff they want to achieve or they just don't want to achieve the stuff you have. And fair enough. Like, fine. Like, you don't have to do the shit that we've done.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I'm also just a normal guy. You know, I don't think I'm anything more special than the next guy. Like, you know, I go out there, I, you know, put my pants on one leg at a time and just like everyone else, you know, nothing crazy about me at all. And I fucking did it too. You know, just consistency is what I would go back to again. Just every single day, try a little bit harder or not even harder. Just try.
Yeah. Just start. Just do something.
Yeah.
And what I would go back to is what I said before. Brainwash yourself. Give yourself that motivation. Like sit down, spend 3 weeks doing it. Get out a big piece of paper. Work out. Will I be happy in 10 years if life keeps going the same way it is right now? Or would I like to change something? And most people, when they do that, they realize like, fuck, I won't be happy. Then project even further forward, like 20 years, then 30 years, then four. Imagine you're 80 and you're on your deathbed. Will you be happy if life keeps going the way it is right now? Most people will honestly say, no, I won't. And so then do the reverse. Start fantasizing about how good would my life be if I achieved the things I want to achieve? Would my life be cool if I got to have some threesomes or something? Would it be cool if I got a girl that I'm actually attracted to and we're in an open relationship and we sleep with girls together? Whatever it is you want, whatever it is that you think would be cool, fantasize about that shit and then almost like give yourself permission to at least take that first step. Like you said, just fucking start, like baby steps. Sign up for my forums. Yeah. That's a step. Yeah. Read a book that I recommend and then do something with it. Don't just read the fucking book, but take that first step. Any final parting shots? Anything you want to shout out? Anything you want to advertise? Do you want to fucking be a sellout whore and talk about something of your own? Do you want to give a shout out to your brothers and your homies, et cetera, et cetera? Shout out.
Not really. I just. Well, I mean, yeah. If you guys like Dungeons and Dragons, you can, I sell miniatures online. I sell and print all of the things that are behind me. I guess I'll leave a link in the description below.
Tell me, Etsy store. I'll research it afterwards. Etsy store.
Yeah. I'll send you a link. It's kind of hard to pronounce. It's Beherit Miniatures. It's like something from Berserk, the manga, if you knew that. But Yeah, I sell minis and print them. I ship worldwide. And that's kind of like a little side business that I run right now.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah,
you gotta shout that shit out, dude. Like, that's how you build something up. I'm giving you the platform. I'm like, shout
no,
out.
No, I get like, that. I
have to fucking, I had to tell you to do that.
No, I know. It's not that I don't like to shill. It's just that I'm also really lazy with this business. And it's like just kind of a side hobby that makes me a couple hundred bucks every month.
Then charge more money. The way you get around laziness, seriously, is by putting your prices up.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Around laziness, because then you're like, well, it's kind of more worth it right now. If you're lazy, that's because something in your brain is saying, I don't really want to do this. It's not worth my time. Like this.
That's
is
essentially
that I've
had to
go through a lot. Yeah. So put the prices up. My girlfriend Imogen has had to do this with her art business. She just was really lazy with it. And I said, put your fucking prices up. Her prices went from like $50 to like $300, right? And she's like, no one's going to give me that much money. Fucking a week later, someone gives her $300 and she's actually motivated to do it, right? Because like, that's a decent amount of fucking money to do some art. So that's my little free tip to you. My lecture from one old man to a little 20-year-old. I'm so passionate. All right, guys, go check him out.
Everyone should just start. That's like my thing, you know? I mean, shout out to Manganello and shout out to Sundalboro. They're both super good people, you know, homies that I, you know, feel like I'll be friends for a long time with. Dudes out there. And just fucking try, you know? Stop being a little pussy and just fucking get out there and do it. It's not going to kill you. And there's only benefits to gain from it, honestly. Yeah.
All right, guys, we will wrap up. I will leave a link in the description below to where you can go and check out the Approach Anxiety program and your stuff, your Dungeons and Dragons shit. And above all else, go crush your fucking goals.